Welcome back to the Split Screen Podcast. On this episode, I'm going to be doing an explosive, spoiler-filled review of the latest Bollywood movie on Netflix, Dhamaka. And I apologize in advance for all the explosion puns that this review is going to be full of. Like, there's going to be a lot of them. The spoiler review coming up right after this. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Split Screen Podcast. Thank you for joining me on this movie review episode. My name is Sean Shaheed, and I'm an entertainment writer, movie and TV critic, Bollywood blogger, and a filmy father, as well as the host and producer of the Split Screen Podcast. So today we're going to be doing a spoiler review of Dhamaka, which is the latest Bollywood movie to hit Netflix. It's on Netflix right now, so feel free to check it out. If you don't want to be spoiled, and you want to be surprised firsthand at what a shitty movie this is, then avoid this review. Subscribe to the channel, Split Screen Podcast, on Apple Podcasts or any other podcasting platform. Then come on back after you've watched the movie to join this discussion. But I'm going to be spoiling a lot about this movie. Right off the bat, I didn't like it. So usually, when I do like a movie or a TV show, I try not to spoil too much of it because I essentially want you guys to enjoy it. I want everyone to watch it. Whereas this is a hard pass. Dhamaka is not good, but to put it lightly. I'll get creative with my review later on, but it's not good. So I don't really care about spoiling it. But if you care, fair warning, that this will be a spoiler review of Dhamaka. The movie itself is starring Kartik Aaryan, Mrunal Thakur, and Amruta Subhash in leading roles. The movie is written and directed by Ram Madhvani, along with writer Puneet Sharma, who's also the writer. Ram Madhvani is probably best known for directing Nirja, the Sonam Kapoor movie. I believe it got her a national award. And it's the biopic about the flight attendant who essentially was instrumental in stopping the terrorist attack. The debut of Jim Sarb, I believe Nirja was. He's also recently done Arya, the TV series, which I've heard rave reviews for, starring Sushmita Sen. Puneet Sharma is essentially a lyricist turned writer. I believe this is his first sort of feature film credit. The movie itself, Dhamaka, is a remake of the 2013 Korean film, The Terror Live, directed by Kim Byung-woo. And it has the accolade of being the highest paid acquisition by Netflix of a Bollywood movie, which comes on the heels of Lakshmi, which was, I think, sold to the Disney Plus Hotstar app that's in India, but we can't get here for some reason. Or some other licensing nonsense. This is Dhamaka. The premise of the movie is basically reassigned from TV to radio, a frustrated anchor sees both danger and opportunity when he receives threatening calls on the air. That's sort of the IMDb premise of this movie. This is horrible. Full disclosure, though, to you guys right now, I haven't seen The Terror Live. The movie that this is based on. So, you know, a lot of, you know, my criticism, a lot of shortcomings about Dhamaka might absolutely be, you know, shortcomings from the source material. I don't know. So I'm going to be sort of reviewing this movie on its own merits and how it stands on its own. In the future, if we want, I mean, there have been, I've done a lot of Bollywood adaptations of Korean films on the Split Screen Podcast before. If you guys want to go back and take a look at those, we did the John Abraham movie. I'm blanking on the name right now, but The Man from Nowhere was the original movie, the original Korean film, and a couple of others have done. Ashibaya Raya's Jazba, which was based on a Korean film, we've done that as well. All those movies were reviewed on the Split Screen Podcast with Kathy Gibson from accessbollywood.com. Feel free to go back on the channel and check out those episodes. Great episodes, more so because of Kathy, not because of me. But check those out. Again, in the future, if we want, if I feel like revisiting Dhamaka more, I might reach out to Kathy, get her back on here to sort of do an actual comparison between Dhamaka and the Tear Alive. But until then, this is going to be a Dhamaka exclusive review. You know, in the sense that this is a Dhamaka of like this is a whimper, not a bang, guys. So let's get into it. The movie itself, you know, I'll give you sort of my own synopsis of the film. Once again, one last time, spoiler warnings abound. Essentially, a radio jockey, a disgraced radio jockey who was a popular news anchor, played by Karthik Aryan, is demoted because of some personal issues in his life that also affected his professional issues. He's getting divorced from his wife, boohoo. And one day, a terrorist calls into his show saying he's going to blow up a bridge. He doesn't take it seriously. The terrorist ends up blowing up the bridge. And lo and behold, our disgraced reporter now has an exclusive on his hands. Ooh. Everything from that point on is a downhill shit show, an uncontrollable flaming garbage can rolling down Main Street, hot fucking mess. This movie has so many plot holes. I don't even know where to begin. At this point, there did come a point in this movie where I checked out, where I was just like, fuck this noise. I'm like, I cannot. But I mean, it has some good things. I'll talk about the good things in the end. But let me get my hate out first. Okay. The movie starts off with this, you know, this is supposedly social media clips recounting the love story between Aryan's character and Thakur's character, who start off married, and you find out later on that part of his depression and his shitty new life is because they're getting separated or divorced or whatever it is. And I hate when Bollywood does this. Actually, I'm not even going to say Bollywood. Sometimes Hollywood does this too. And I hate it when they show, when they tell a story through the lens, or they tell some sort of a montage through the lens of a social media feed or something. Half the time it's never done right to the point. Like half the time the people doing it and editing and CGIing these scenes together, you're looking at them and you're like, you've never fucking been on social media a day of your goddamn life. Because what the fuck is this? The overlay of the CGI where it's supposed to be like they're taking selfie videos of themselves start off as YouTube videos. Like the bar on the bottom looks like a YouTube video. It does not look like a social media video feed or Reels or IGTV, nothing like that. And they all play from zero. So you don't even get to like jump into a middle of a video. It's all starting from zero. There's a scene where he's accepting an award for best journalist of the year at the event. And he's looking directly into the camera, which again is running. It's like a video playing on social media. And he's looking directly into the camera, thanking his wife. So it's almost like the wife is taking the video of her husband getting the award. But then the scene cuts to a shot of the wife responding with the same social media video overlay. So we're expected to believe there's someone literally documenting their life and then editing it together. Like it's silly. It's so stupid. Like, I don't know why they bother doing that shit when, and again, right off the bat, it gives me such a bad taste of the movie because you're kind of like, so this is the level of care and attention and detail that we're going to be sort of dealing with. Great. And honestly, that is the level of care and attention that this movie puts into its story, into its sequences, into its plot points and everything else. It's absurd, not in like a hilarious way, absurd in like an enraging way, because the premise and the idea behind the story could have been riveting, could have been absolutely like a tense thriller that it pretends like it is. It's not. Moving on, the movie sort of also sets off this idea that actually it's kind of almost, this is sort of one of the major premises, is that Karthik Aryan's character is a respected, famous former news broadcaster. Like, he had a TV show called Bharosa 24/7, so he was trustworthy and faithful, and he was the face in people's homes that they relied on for the news and all this other shit. So he was good at his job, we're led to believe. But when he starts dealing with this, when he starts dealing with this terrorist calling into his show, and he has to sort of take command of the calls, he has to get the information out, and he has to deal with this, you know, evil person on the phone while also managing, you know, leveraging this situation to get back his primetime TV slot, managing a boss who's a little sort of cruel to him or whatever, he seems to suck at his job. Like, there's not anything in the sequences where he's on air with this terrorist that gives you an idea of that he's exceptional, or that he's somehow not your mediocre TV journalist who's just reading off a teleprompter. Like, there's nothing in the character's portrayal that makes him seem like, oh, I can see why this guy was a good host. He doesn't do anything. He has zero skill sets. And again, it feels like what they were trying to do is show his sort of progression from a cool, calm, collected news reporter into like this, you know, losing your shit kind of disheveled, frustrated, end of his rope kind of progression through the movie as the scenes get worse and things happen. His wife's in danger, all this kind of stuff. But they don't set it up that way. Like, he doesn't start off as this cool, calm, collected guy who's awesome at his job and he's totally manipulating the terrorists. And then, you know, a second act twist would be that the terrorist is actually manipulating him. No, there's none of that. He just starts off kind of shitty at his fucking job, which you're like, why do I care about this guy? Why am I going to watch this guy? The comparison that I make with this movie is there was this George Clooney movie called, I want to say Money Monster, 2016 film with George Clooney, where it's sort of a similar premise where he's a financial advisor on TV. He's very sort of, you know, like a bullshit artist kind of thing. And his entire TV studio gets taken hostage by this person who you find out in the third act or somewhere in the turn that, you know, he gave him bad financial advice, which is why he's now sort of taking the entire studio hostage. In that movie, Clooney's progression from like this sort of slimy, smarmy kind of a TV host breaks down into like this sort of desperate, disheveled, frantic energy guy trying to save his life and dealing with this intense situation. Kartik Aaryan kind of starts off that way in this movie, in Dhamaka, which is weird. There's also aspects of the setting and the technical idea of having this thing be set in a radio studio / TV studio. First of all, oh my God, this is supposed to be a channel. Okay, this is a TV channel, apparently. He was a news broadcaster for a TV channel, but then he got demoted to a radio jockey, which, transferable skills, for sure, but usually not the sort of, you know, parallel or you know, not usually the career move that a disgraced broadcaster goes to become a radio jockey. Those skill sets are a little bit different. So that was a little weird to me. Like, why wouldn't he get demoted to, like, a regional, small town, city broadcaster position instead of literally working in the same building but somehow on the radio instead of TV? Okay, cool. And again, he seems shitty at his job. He has zero charisma, zero personality. I don't even know why he's on the radio at this point. So then when the service calls and he's like, this is my opportunity to make it big, they go to all these lengths to transform his shitty little radio, his recording booth, into a TV studio, even though they talk about many times the fact that it's a whole fucking building. Like, the channel has a building. So you're assuming they've got studios set up. Why would one person not just go to a different floor in front of a news desk that has TV cameras already set up with lighting and everything else, instead of a shit ton of people converting a radio booth on the fly into a TV studio with a green screen? Like, it made zero fucking sense. But that's not the only thing that made zero fucking sense. There's so much more in this movie that doesn't make any sense. They bring a green screen to fix this guy's radio booth, by the way. But there's no hair and makeup person. Buddy has to take out a little pomade thing from the fucking drawer and slick up his hair because I don't know what that was meant to imply, but okay. The other aspect of this movie, which here's the thing, right? I can't fault any of the performers for these roles and these depictions of these characters. Honestly speaking, if you strip away everything that's frustrating about this movie, the performances are the least offensive thing about this movie. Everyone is trying to do the best they can with whatever the fuck any of this is supposed to be. Honestly, and I'll talk about that more a little bit later on. So I just want to make it clear that I am not shitting on the performances at all. I am shitting on the portrayal of the characters, the depiction of the characters as they were written, and, you know, the material that these poor actors had to work with Yes, that includes Kartik Aaryan. I know. I'll get to him. I'll get to our buddy boy in a second. But the character, there's one of the, I guess, like the third lead characters besides Mrunal Thakur. Actually, you could even say the sort of parallel lead or the supporting actress would be Subhash's character, who is basically like Kartik Aaryan's character's boss. She's supposed to be like this cold, cruel, you know, no-nonsense boss lady kind of a thing. And you know how they portray her that way? Kartik Aaryan just calls her boss like 50 times. That's character development. But yeah, so she comes down and she basically tells him that we're selling news, deal with this guy. And here's the weird fucking part. They come up with this sort of summary of how he's going to deal with him and get him to surrender. And then he gets the exclusive interview. And like they're scheming out how the terrorist situation is going to end as if, as news people, they're controlling the events that are happening, which was very weird. Like, you're just reporting on this shit. And also, she's coming up with like an end game of, here's what you're going to do. You're going to end this. And he's going to give himself live on the air. And it's kind of like, and the whole point perspective is that, you know, we're selling news. She says to him that, you know, we're not reporting the news. We're selling it. That's the whole perspective. Again, she's supposed to be this greedy corporate, money hungry sort of executive, which, cool, fine. But what doesn't make sense is if you're in the ratings business, the longer this shit gets dragged out, the better it is for you, which she doesn't seem to understand, which no one seems to understand. They're trying to find like an end game, which is the weirdest thing. It's like, listen, the longer this goes on, from your own logic, if all you care about is ratings, this is better for you. Your ratings keep shooting up because you've got an exclusive with the terrorists. The longer this shit gets dragged on, they don't seem to understand that, which is so weird. Like inconsistent in terms of like not understanding how this industry that you're setting the news world in works. And speaking of not understanding how news works, there's a goddamn scene in this movie where Kartik Aaryan's character is live on air. And for whatever reason, in the booth, in the editing bay, in the booth where the other sound engineers and everyone else is sort of controlling this broadcast, they're also watching on screens live feeds from other channels reporting on the same news. And somehow also Kartik Aaryan's character in the soundproof radio booth can hear this television screen from the other side. And if that wasn't ridiculous enough, like, why are you watching other TV channels reporting of the thing that you're literally in? Like, they're reporting on what you're doing. So why is everyone preoccupied with other news channels are talking about? And then there's a point where literally a host of another TV show on a different channel live is speaking into the camera, addressing Kartik Aaryan's character, who's also live on the air on camera, and he's now responding to that anchor's sort of comments about him, and they're communicating through live television. How the fuck is anyone keeping up with this? Because the audience watching at home is watching one channel, either Kartik Aaryan's character or the other dude. They're not getting the other side of the conversation. So like, what the fuck is any of that, and how is it working? Makes zero fucking sense. There's another aspect, there's another plot point of this movie where you realize the terrorist is not just terrorizing the city, he's also terrorizing Kartik Aaryan. He has planted bombs in the studio. He wanted to talk to Kartik Aaryan exclusively. When they wouldn't let him talk to them, when they had another anchor take over, the anchor's microphone blew up in her face, like a tiny little explosive. And then Kartik Aaryan was told that, hey, there's explosive in your earphone. Like, your wireless earphone has an explosive inside of it. So don't move from your chair. Don't get up. Don't try to leave. And I will blow you up and I will kill you. So everyone freaks out about this. But no person, not one goddamn person, asks the question, how the fuck did anyone get in a hold of our equipment, tamper with them, put explosive in them? Also, the fact that these equipment are so fucking tiny, like, no one's asking the question that how does someone, what kind of person with what kind of skill sets is able to implant these tiny goddamn explosives in wireless equipment and then detonate them remotely? Now, one person asked that question in this movie. The terrorist is supposed to be a laborer, like just a construction worker who can somehow do all this shit. Okay, now, no one's concerned about security. There's a point in the movie where a counter-terrorist agent shows up into the booth out of nowhere. Does not seem concerned about the security of the station at all. How did the terrorists get a hold of bombs? How did this person blow up a microphone in another anchor's face? Nope, no one cares. No sweep is done. No security is checked whatsoever. In the climax of the movie, how many guesses do you guys really need to try to figure out where the terrorist was hiding the entire fucking time? Yeah. In the goddamn building. In the same place where they were recording this TV show. Like, what? There's also a scene where the terrorist is threatening to blow up the hostages that are on the bridge from his initial explosion. And the TV, Subhash's character is basically telling Karthik Aryan that, hey, this is good. If he kills the hostages, this is better ratings for us. She's doing this and she's having this argument and she's advocating for the death of the hostages for ratings in front of the counter-terrorist agent who's just behind her on the phone, who doesn't respond, who doesn't at all realize that one of the civilians involved in this situation is literally advocating the hostages to die. I should take control of the situation. Like, really? And then, when a guest comes into the studio and the terrorist actually does blow up the earpiece in the guest's head and they die, Buddy comes in, counter-terrorist agent unit comes in, they wheel out the dead body, and the counter-terrorist guy basically just tells Karthik Aryan that, hey, bro, here's my text. Text me what's going on. I gotta go do some other stuff. And he leaves. And that character is then gone for like a couple of minutes. So, like, you just had an active crime scene. Someone literally just died in the recording booth, in the studio. And you're just taken off, like, bro, text me if anything comes up, huh? Like, what? Like, it's baffling. Like, it's not even just bad. It's baffling the levels of terrible that this movie is. All of this culminates. There's a whole reveal about how construction workers died on the bridge, which is why the terrorist is doing what he's doing. It's actually the son of the construction worker, not the construction worker himself. The son's an engineer. You know, a third act twist that you see coming from the first fucking act. So, you know, kudos to that. At the end of the movie, essentially, the terrorist is trying to get talked down by Karthik Aryan. They're trying to talk him down because he has the building rigged to explode. There's cops in the building. The radio station the entire TV channel building is rigged to explode. And so Karthik Aryan is trying to talk him down, and snipers on the roof kill the terrorist. Happy ending. But before he dies, he somehow, there's this whole fucking convoluted plot point about how the TV station or someone basically framed Karthik Aryan, that he was in cahoots with the terrorist the whole fucking time, with flimsy ass evidence, hearsay, nonsense. It made no sense why that plot point was there in the end, especially because it seems like it's so easily proven. You can easily prove that to be a lie. Anyways, that's not even the problem with the ending that I have, even though that's a huge fucking shit show right there. But at the end of the movie, he finds out that his wife died. She was on the bridge when the terrorist attack happened, and she was also the reporter on site. She died. So the last scene of the movie is this hero who was 5 minutes ago trying to talk the terrorist down to prevent him from taking other people's lives and killing innocents, is now framed. Terrorist is dead. He's now framed for being part of this terrorist act. His wife just died. And what he does is he takes a detonator from the dead terrorist's hand and blows up the building. Blows up the building with himself in it, along with all the government agents who were converging on him in the building. And potentially other innocents who didn't fully have time to evacuate, I'm assuming. Because it also didn't seem like the cops outside of Karthik Aryan knew that he had the building rigged to explode. So the hero basically destroys and kills and murders a bunch of other innocent characters in the ending of the movie. And the way they play that scene is like a melancholy, poor him, his wife died, he has nothing to live for. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, get out of here with that bullshit. Anyways, that's how the movie ends. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Do not watch this. Skip the shit out of this movie. Now, I did promise some lighthearted positivity, because let's not end the show with hate in our hearts. the good thing is, the performances, honestly, like I said, are the least offensive. They're not great, but they're the least offensive thing. This is Karthik Aryan's first non-romantic lead, bullshit comedy artist, you know, misogynistic rant for 2.5 minutes in one take because look how awesome I am kind of roles, which, I mean, fine. If that's what this was meant to be, it's fine. What I was trying to say essentially is that Karthik Aryan is not a bad actor. Like, if you strip away the context of his performance, if you strip away the dialogue, if you strip away the story, if this was just, if clips of this movie and his performance were just shown as a demo reel, you know, as an audition tape of whether this guy has chops or not, yeah, I mean, I would give him a second audition. I'd be like, hey, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, not that I'm making a movie, not that anyone's gonna let me make a movie, but if I saw out of context just acting chops of this guy based on this movie randomly, I'd be like, yeah, he's got something to him for sure. The one thing I can't get over is in Bangla there's a word that I've been taught. I don't know the origins of this word, so I might be speaking out of turn here. But the sort of the slang term of chasra, what I take away from that, what I've been explained in context is the fact that it's a word that, you know, like tacky, kind of like lucha lafanga type of a word. And for whatever reason, Karthik Aryan to me just embodies that word. Like every time I look at this guy, I'm like, yeah, he's kind of a chesra. So that's really my only takeaway. Like I said, Mrunal Thakur is fine. Amrita Subhash, she does what she can, poor lady, with whatever the fuck she's given. And Karthik Aryan, as his first non-romantic bullshit movie, serious sort of dramatic actor movie, probably not the best thing for him to do. I don't think this is going to get him any other work. But if he chooses better roles and sort of tries to make a change, maybe? I don't know. I mean, what does it really matter at this point? Anyways, everybody, thank you so much for indulging me and putting up with this very, very angry, rant-filled review of Dhamaka. It's on Netflix right now. Not as many explosion puns, though, right? I didn't deliver on that at all. But, I mean, probably for the best. Thank you so much for listening. That's it for me today. If you liked what you heard and you're interested in hearing more of these Bollywood reviews and thoughts of Bollywood movies, subscribe to this podcast, Split Screen Podcast, on Apple Podcast, or any of the other podcasting platforms that there is. Leave me a 5-star review and rating if you like what you heard, so I can get some validation, which I'm very insecure. I need it, please. I've been your host for today. My name is Shah Shaheed. You can tweet at me or get in touch with me online about how much you liked or hated Dhamaka. Let me know what your thoughts on the movie was. For people that might have seen the original, the Terror Live, the Korean film, please reach out to me. Let me know how this compares and stacks up against that, because I'm curious to know. And again, I'm going to try to check out the movie on my own if I can, but I'm curious to know if a lot of my problems with this movie were just in failure to adapt a good story, or were these elements part of the original? In which case, you know, sorry. Sorry, Dhamaka. Sorry, Ram Madhvani. get back at me. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at The Shah Shaheed. And if you want to hear more of these, subscribe and check back here. I'm planning on doing some more Bollywood stuff, so hopefully you'll join me on that journey. And until then, thank you so much once again for listening. Take care.